Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, I'm back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, for the most, the main event, the showstopper, the king of kings himself. God damn, I love myself. I am the hot rod. Now, on the phone line, I'm surprised he did not get beat up on a plane by Mike Tyson. He's the reason we have not been on for 3 weeks because he was out BSing for the time. He is the one, the only, Sean Black, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Sean Black in the building once again, trying to make sure I stay away from that left hook, right hook, uppercut punch. I am not stupid enough to challenge Mike Tyson. And if you are, well, yeah, that's your problem. Yes.
Hey, listen, some people like to play with fire, as they like to say, you know. Well,
yeah.
All right. We have a lot to talk about. It's been a while. I know you miss us. Well, I'm sorry. I should not say that. I know you miss me very much and not Sean Black. But you know the number, guys. 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, let's get right into it. Like we just mentioned, Mike Tyson, he was on the plane, minding his own business. I'm assuming he got home, and this person, intoxicated, decided to have a good time, and you know what? You know, keep bombing Mike Tyson on the plane. You know, talking, blah, blah, blah. And Mike Tyson, to a certain degree, told him to sit down, mind business, you know, shut up. Then he took out on the guy. Was Mike Tyson wrong to lay all those punches on a guy that was driving him nuts on a plane ride with his left and right hooks?
I will give you the expression that has been heard by many people. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. First and foremost, unless you have been living in a cave or don't know anything about pop culture over the last 30 years, everybody, including my late grandmother, knows who Mike Tyson is. And everybody, including my late grandmother, knows that Mike Tyson is not a person that you mess with. It's been documented about what Tyson has gone through in his life and his mental health issues that he's dealt with. And he's taking his, I guess he's taking his medication to make sure that he's keeping his own mental health there and all of the things that's happened in his lifetime. All Mike Tyson wanted to do was get on a plane and travel to his destination. And you know somebody's going to at least say, oh, Mike Tyson, can I get an autograph or take a selfie with you? Something along those lines.
Like
that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Exactly.
Yeah,
you get one or two pictures with him. Yeah, one or two pictures with him, you're fine. This fool decided to literally spit in the wind and get the spit right back in his face by antagonizing him and yelling and screaming and poking the bear. Tyson actually said, you know, relax. I want to just sit down and chill, whatever is the case. He continued to do it, knowing that he either had a friend of his record what was going on with his cell phone in a couple of seats in the same aisle further up, or whatever was the case. Kept poking him. Tyson flipped out. He said, I've had enough. Now, should Tyson have done it? No, because nobody, I don't condone violence on anybody doing anything like this. But we all know Mike Tyson's hands are lethal weapons. Just ask Mitch Green.
Even at his age, it's still lethal weapons. He's 50-something years old, you know.
Yes.
But it's funny that you say that because from what I read on social media and the internet, you said people will be upset with Mike Tyson, but they, like you just said, they don't condone the violence. But you know what? Like I always say this, especially to my kids, The stove is hot. Don't touch it. If you touch it, you get burned. When the kids touch the stove, when it's hot, guess what happened to them? They burn their hands or whatever. You don't deserve it, but that's what you're asking for. You're asking for trouble. So people understand, you know, people agree with Mike Tyson giving it to this guy. And that's what I'm like, wow, that's odd. Normally, you know, society, like, Mike Tyson, you know, you should not hit the person, blah, blah, blah. But like you said, you know, Mike Tyson's a loose cannon. Why are you playing with fire with it, you know? And when in the video show him beating up, and he just sat to the side like, I can't believe he had this Chris Rock. I hate to say that. I can't believe Mike Tyson just punched the crap out of me, you know?
But
So
you're just asking for trouble. Why even tempt it?
Caller 908. I will get to you in a few minutes, but first I want to take care of some other topics. All right. One of the reasons why we have not been on the air the last couple of weeks, due to schedule conflict on Sean Black's part, because he cannot get his act together. That's what we think he's a busy man, but he's really full of crap. Yeah,
oh,
stop putting you on the spot, Sean Black. But last week was our spring break with my kids, so you know I had to go spend money on them. That's a personal thing, of course. But before that, my kids are taking positive for the COVID-19, so I've been dealing with that. Lucky for us, you know, they were sick, for the mild fever, the coughing, and they were sneezing, a couple of days rest, a couple of days of driving me crazy. But I was very glad that they're okay, you know. And this once again shows that this COVID-19, like I always ask Sean Black, our inside stupid question slash joke, I test him every weekend, is the pandemic over? Because to a lot of people, it seems like it's over. You know, people walking freely like life is normal. Which I understand, life goes on, we need to move on with our life. But some people take a precaution, some people don't. So I'm Black, I'm not going to lie, you know my kids, they wear the masks in schools, to their potential. I cannot watch them 24/7. So have they caught the virus? Most likely in school. I caught my back in a few months, so I was okay. My wife, she's sick, but she's okay as well. So while I'm putting people on this, the virus is still out there. The virus is real. You may, all you get the vaccine. I'm not going to get too much about it. That's your decision, whether you want to get vaccinated or not. But at my parents and my kids' sake, the vaccine did work. Like even though my kids got sick, especially on my son's side, but because my son is asthmatic just like his father, I mean, he's not in the hospital right now. He's not dead, you know. So people, the pandemic is real. The virus is out there. Let's go live your life, but just be cautious about it, you know. And like Sean will tell you in a few minutes, there's people out there who's not wearing their masks, sneezing and coughing in other people's face, and not coming in cough or sneezing, which it drove me freaking nuts to a fullness. But before I pass it to you, Sean, as we know, they loosened up the mask mandates in most of the states. Everything, they're trying to make things go back to normal. Number one, do you think, is a pandemic still happening? How do you feel this mandate being loosened up? Then I get to the caller.
Okay. I think it's safe to say, yes, the pandemic is still around. We're probably on the back end of the pandemic as far as the super amount of – we're not at the point where we were a year and a half ago before we got the vaccines, where we were literally hearing thousands of people were dying a day. We're at almost 1 million deaths in this country alone in the 2 years and change we've been dealing with this pandemic. 34, 35 states have had an increase in cases. We don't have as many deaths happening, but we have a lot more people getting infected and getting sick. Now, also, The other part of this is that we don't have as many, the numbers of as many people that are getting infected, because a lot of people are doing the at-home tests, and when they get tested, they're not going to a doctor or going to a hospital to get treatment. They're just staying home. So they're not reporting that they got sick or they had COVID or all around
it. Hopefully they're staying home. I'm sorry. Most of them are staying home.
You would hope. But there are instances.
That's another problem.
Yes, there are instances where people that do get infected will just say, well, I'll just wear a couple of masks and I'll just go outside, and not realizing that these variants now are much more communicable and transmissible. So as we're seeing the variants mutating are becoming more and more transmissible, but maybe nowhere near as lethal as some of the others. Maybe they are. But you also have to remember the majority of people that are dying from the virus are those that are still to this day unvaccinated. So we have that part of the equation. As far as the other part of your question, as far as the mask mandates go, the mandates have proven to have worked, because there was something that there was a statistic that was brought out, I believe, by the World Health Organization and the CDC, whether people want to really believe those numbers or not, is that if a lot of the mask mandates that were in place weren't in place at the time, instead of having close to 1 million people dead, it would probably be about 3 times as many. So we do have that protection in place for those that are too young to get the vaccine, or because of health issues that preclude them from taking it, say allergic to a part of the vaccine or something along those lines, that they can't get the vaccine. Those are the people that have to worry the most, the elderly, people with underlying conditions. So while those people that have gotten the vaccine are protected to a great deal, you can still get infected. You can still get the virus. And that's part of why this whole entire thing continues to fluctuate with the variants that we have, as well as what has been going on with a lot of the mask mandates. And it can be very confusing. Whereas in some states there are mandates for masks to come into the state, but yet public transportation, you may have a mandate to continue to wear masks, but the mask mandate has been lifted in certain places where you can travel into the state. So there's still a lot of confusion going on. In New York City, as we talked about before, the mayor of New York City lifted the mask mandate for performers and athletes at home, which then makes it look really bad, because then those who are performers, people that go to the arena, people that work in the arena, work in the area, they still have to wear masks. And those that didn't decide to get the vaccine, lost their jobs, they can't get those jobs back. So there's a lot of discrepancy on both sides that need to be cleared up.
Okay, talk about both sides. 908, I think I know who you are. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure you do know who I am.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, girl?
What's going on? It's been a while. So, where should I begin? Should I begin with the fact that Tyson was absolutely well within his rights, or should I deal with the crooked mayor of New York and the mask mandate?
Flip a coin. Enough about Tyson, because we know about him. Let's talk about the mayor, because we have a lot of beef with him right now.
You?
And before you go rant about him, well, you're from a different state, so he has nothing to do with you, you know.
First of all, just because I live in another state doesn't mean I'm not in New York every day. But ixnaying that for a moment, this guy is just a mouthpiece for, let me rephrase, I'm not going to call him a mouthpiece. I'm going to call him a Sambo, because that's exactly what he is. When that poor little boy got shot up in Brooklyn, the first thing out his man's mouth was, I'm ready. Let's talk about Crooked for a moment. When that little boy in Brooklyn got shot, he's sitting there with, I feel so bad. He didn't make it to any of the services. And what comes out of his mouth, what about BLM? First of all, how dare you? BLM is not responsible for that, okay? Let's talk about how he should still be looking to put money into these social programs that keep these kids off of the streets, that help them find things to do. I remember growing up in the city, we had PAL. We didn't have to pay for PAL. PAL was a joint venture between the police department and the communities that they serve. The cops would come out, play sports with the kids, this was during the summer, give them lunch, teach them arts and crafts. Like, there was a real community thing between the cops and the community. Now, it's not to say that the community didn't have its bad apples, but a lot of those kids wound up actually becoming productive members of society. They did.
Yeah.
They absolutely did.
But you're
sitting here talking about BLM. Huh?
No,
listen,
I agree with you 100%.
BLM can show
those bad things.
Yeah, you know what? Give me a break with that. You know, he sounds like every other freaking conservative that's on this whole thing. They all sound alike to me. Because not for nothing, BLM isn't there to freaking tell the black community that you shouldn't do this. We as the black community have to tell ourselves to stop this drama. The BLM is to bring to light the fact that black folks are being targeted left and right every freaking day just for being black. There's a story I can get.
Why is that, Mika? Even to today,
2022,
we're still having problems.
Because as far as the world, and I've said this time and time again, and people look at me like I'm crazy. Seth Rott, Hot Rod,
well,
shut up.
Yes,
I already know I'm crazy.
Yes, you are.
But that's besides the point.
Totally, you knew that was coming.
Of course I did. But I've always said this. The pale skins have the best PR ever. And they've had centuries to perfect their freaking PR. They've had centuries to perfect it. Let's be real. Let's be real for a moment. Anytime something goes down, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, it was the black people that did it. Not always the case. 99% of the time, it's them. I have sat here and watched, okay, now I know you guys don't want to watch this because you're guys, but I sit there and I watch shows like Snatch, and I could tell you, 90% of the people that are on there that do these crimes to each other are not of the darker persuasion. They're not melanated. They're not. Not at all. And I love how people bring up black-on-black crime, but y'all don't bring up pale-on-pale crime, which is a lot higher. It's way higher than black-on-black crime. And,
well,
you know,
yeah,
like I said,
all the time.
The PR. It's the PR. They've had centuries to perfect their PR, which is ironic because not for nothing, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't even know how to wipe their rear end. I'm just saying.
True, but
see,
okay, because of okay, dog, I'll get to you in a minute. But,
and the man just feeds into
why do you think our crimes? Yeah, but why do you think crimes are so high right now? And it shouldn't have gone up if this is black-on-black crime going on.
And this is the funny part. This is the funny part. They like to bring up black-on-black crime, but they don't bring up the brawls that be happening outside the bar. And, like, okay, here's a prime example. When there's a sporting event, team wins, these fools are in the street rioting, literally rioting. But they don't say that. What do they say? Oh, there was a minor disturbance in downtown Chicago this evening as the Chicago whatever freaking team it was won whatever championship it was. Lord knows, because I'm like that. Whichever team it is, you know. But when you look at the news feed, how many of us are in the middle of that? Not too many of us. If you really look at it, ain't too many of us there.
Yeah,
so I'm tired of hearing
that.
And this mayor is. But you know what? Growing up in the city, it was nothing new. We grew up in, listen, for those of us who grew up in New York, 70s, 80s, early to mid-90s, because after that it just became a bunch of hipsters and millennials. But we grew up knowing that every day you walk out your house, somebody was getting popped. It wasn't uncommon. It's not unheard of. The only difference between then and now is that now they're publicizing it more. And this freaking mouth breather you guys have for a mayor is just feeding it. He's just feeding it. He's sitting there so long, feeding it. That he's not really trying to do anything to stop it. Look at the homelessness that's going on in New York. Come on. Really? You mean to tell me...
Hold on, Mika.
Ooh.
Mika, he donated some money to start programs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know, that's what I heard on the news. But Kingo, go ahead.
What's up, everybody? Good evening. Hey, what's up, Mika? What's going on? Listen, Mika, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I agree 100%. You know what? I'm going to tell you something about Mayor Eric Adams. And, you know, here he is. You know, he was selling an idea. You know, he was, oh, I'm for the people. I'm for this. I'm for that. And here we are. It's 2022. And Hot Rod, you know, again, I'm happy that the kids are doing okay. Sean, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Here we are, it's 2022, and we're still in this pandemic. And, of course, people are acting like the pandemic is over, and Eric Adams, and Mayor Eric Adams, our fearless mayor, you know,
That's a big title for him there. Go ahead, Kato.
You know, Miss... No, I'm just saying it sarcastically, because
we know.
Look at the jacked up thing he did. Now, you told all those city workers who were not vaccinated that if you're not vaccinated by such and such a date, you're gonna lose your jobs, and that happened. A lot of city workers then lost their jobs. They got fired because they weren't vaccinated. But yet, you take a person like Kyrie Irving. You know, I'm not going to get on the Brooklyn Nets because, you know, they suck. They're horrible, stupid idiots. That's what. But, however, you know, Kyrie Irving was not vaccinated. A lot of people were not. All those entertainers were not vaccinated. You're like, oh, go ahead, play ball. Hey, we got to – hey, let him play because, you know what, we're going to win this. But meanwhile – a lot of people got fired, and you pissed off a lot of people. All those people that got fired from their jobs, the lawsuits are going to be coming because they can't get their jobs back, and they're really pissed off about it. And as for you know, not showing up to that kid's funeral, and, you know, by the way, Eric Adams was walking around, you know, thinking that this pandemic's over, walking around maskless and talking about that, and which he himself ended up catching COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He himself caught it.
Mm-hmm.
Acting all cocky, saying, hey, this thing is over, and he ended up catching it. And, you know, for someone who takes the trains every day.
So, Kato, do you think it's karma on Eric Adams that he caught COVID last week?
Yes, I believe so. Because, listen, look, you told everybody, you fired all those people, oh, they're not taking the vaccine, oh, they're getting fired, but yet you let Kyrie Irving play, and you're relaxing rules for people in arenas and all of this, and, you know, look at what's going on right now in the streets. I mean, as a former police officer, you should know better.
My friend is Rob. He's a former cop.
No.
Really?
You're a former cop.
Hold on. Do you think, because he's a former cop, he should know how the New York City streets run, right?
Of course he should. When you're a police officer and you're out there in these streets, you should know what's going on. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you patrol. You know your area. You know that which areas that you patrol. You should know these things. And now that you're mayor, you should be prepared. You should be prepared and say, you know what? We see what's going on in these streets. We got to do something about it.
Okay.
We got to do something about it.
I miss when the mob in the city. I miss it. Think about the
fact that Mayor Adams has already had to deal with literally a shooting every either every week or every 2 or 3 days.
You mean a publicized
a mass
one.
Shooting on the train station? There was a shooting in a train station today in Queens. It seems to have gotten so much worse as far as crime. And one of the things that you start to see as far as the optics are concerned is that they like to tout certain stats. Well, it hasn't been compared to 2 years ago or compared to last year.
Please.
Crime was down in certain areas. No, crime is up, not only here, but everywhere else. And
most of
it is because of the lax gun laws. We have more guns in the country than we have people. So
you
got to deal with that. You got to deal with a lot of the opioids that have been going on, which
there's been a lot of overdoses
we talk about the opioid issue, but it's only become an issue depending on the side that
you're
looking at.
Your skin.
The color of the skin determines whether it was
a
drug issue or if it was an opioid issue. And it was treated with a lot more compassion than
the drug
wars, quote-unquote war on drugs back in the 80s and in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of people in jail because of those Rockefeller laws that were so draconian of getting mandatory 10-year first offense and a lot of people that are there. And a lot of things that are going on are going to be on now this mayor's watch. So now he has to figure out how to deal with all of this on his dime, on his watch, on his city.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did a report. I think he was on 60 Minutes just last week or this weekend on Sunday talking about what he wants to do, what he's trying to do. And I'm sorry, he comes across as very, very arrogant and very, very
tone
deaf.
Yes.
Sorry
to cut you off. But to Mika's saying, this is what he's doing. He's doing a lot of talking and less action. Just last night in my neighborhood, we lost a firefighter in a Brooklyn home. You know, it's like these incidents keep happening over and over. But at the same time, he's trying to cut funds from the fire department. He doesn't want to get firefighters, the police jobs back, to what Cato is saying, from the vaccine mandates. Like, he gives Kyrie the chance to go play basketball. They suck on tonight. They got blown by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
But you have firefighters, policemen, doctors, nurses who need their job that we really need, but you won't give them their job back. So
That is the saddest part about the whole thing is the fact that you're telling the masses, whether you agree with the mask mandates or not, the mask mandates were there for everyone. It was a flat baseline throughout the entire city. If you have to work amongst X amount of people for businesses of 100 or more, et cetera, traveling on the MTA, you had a mask mandate to deal with. You had to wear masks. If you didn't either wear masks or you weren't vaccinated, there was a possibility by the cutoff time you were going to lose your job. Now you're basically telling those people, the nurses that were there, all of the essential workers that worked during the literal heart of the because remember, this was the epicenter. This was ground zero, the New York State area for the pandemic. And you're going to tell those people that lost their jobs that I can't get my job back after you just excused a million-dollar athlete because he decided he didn't want to, and you thought it would make much more sense to bring more people in to help not only win some championship, but also to bring ratings and money into the state and into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Tell those people that have lost their jobs how fair that is, and I've got a bridge to show you in Brooklyn.
It was a slap in the face because, Sean,
big slap.
Let's face it, that was a slap in the face. When he announced that, I was like, what the hell is going on? So all those people who got fired, city workers, mind you, and they unionized, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that, you know how bad that looks? And then
I said this when this was brought up. I said this a month ago on this show. I said, wait for the lawsuits to line up. They're going to be lined up on everybody's door.
Because everyone was pissed off about that because people was – did you see the protesters that were out there on City Hall?
What I find interesting, this is what I find interesting about this whole thing with the mask mandate. And I mean, you guys can agree or disagree. I'm fine with it. The same people that refused to get the vaccine, okay, when this first broke out, their words were, if there's a vaccine, we'll take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is for doctors, nurses, firefighters, police officers, all of these people. We're like, if there's a vaccine, we'll take it. Vaccine becomes available. First things out their mouth is, no, we're not taking it. But you just said you was going to take
soon.
It.
Too soon.
Yeah,
too early.
Listen,
we don't know the
But you know what? But you know
effect.
What? Once it, here's my thing. Once it got approved, medically approved, FDA approval, there should have been no issues about it. There really shouldn't have. There really shouldn't have. Now, do I agree with the fact that people should be forced to do it? I don't really agree with it, but I will say this much. If it's a chance to keep everybody safe, what's a jab in the arm? What's a jab in the arm? Seriously.
But here's the other part that's funny about that whole argument is the fact that the same people that argued about not getting this vaccine are the same ones that are agreeing to take the vaccines that they had to take when they were young. You got rubella, chicken pox, mumps, measles.
First of all, none of us agreed to it. That was just mandatory. You couldn't go to school without it.
And that also brings up my point. It's something that you had to take. And although you did have pockets of parents that might have been against that whole thing, I would say in the high 90 percentile knew that they had to get their kids into school, were going to get their kids vaccinated. If you go to college, you have to have your shots updated and make sure that you are, whatever booster shots you have to take, make sure that your shots are current so that you can go to school, go to college. At that point, has the choice of, well, am I not going to take these shots? Well, then maybe you're not going to go to school. But the point being is that is, in essence, a mandate that is on the docket for anybody to take.
So
and it was seemingly this particular vaccine that people had a problem with as opposed to any of the myriad of other vaccines that they had to take.
Is kind of retarded. I'm sorry, it's the most retarded thing. But nonetheless, so your issue is that you're working in a hospital. You are a police officer. You are a paramedic. You are a firefighter. You are in the public face all day, every day. Now, as we all know, the public is nasty. As Hotbot has pointed out, people be walking down the block coughing and sneezing and not covering their mouth. You, being said city worker, federal worker, whatever kind of worker you are, should really want to do it just to protect yourself. You don't want to bring this home to your family. Do you really want to bring this home to your newborn child? Like, seriously. Granted, freaking the mouthpiece is an idiot for saying that these city workers these city workers are going to lose their job for not taking it and letting these athletes who are generating revenue, because, see, I know where he's coming from. He's coming from a business standpoint, and that's another issue that I have.
Exactly. And what,
that's another issue.
You're supposed to be for the people.
Nonetheless, this is the thing, you know? So if it's a choice, you know what? I'd take the shot and just get it over with. Do I agree with the way that he's gone about it? Heck no. Heck to the no. Because he's a freaking idiot.
But like we always say on these shows, money talk and BS walk. It's always come down to the bottom dollar.
New York is not even New York. It hasn't been New York since Giuliani took over. When Giuliani took over, New York was done. Between him and Bloomberg, and then DiGiorgio, And now freaking the freaking Sambo, it's a wrap. It is a wrap.
No, it is.
But before we move on, this is sad that, you know, this is time we have a mayor, a black mayor, and there's been nothing but headaches happening. Like the
Hold up. See, now before you go there, let me let you in on a little fact. Because if you check Dinkins' stats, he actually was bringing crime under control.
Yep.
He really was.
Yeah,
he was.
But he didn't get credit for that.
Of course he
did. You know why? Because
because he was dark skinned.
You got to remember also is that when Dinkins was in office, he put in a lot of checks and balances in place on crime. The issue was he had to dig out from 12 years of Ed Koch and the debt that the city was in, so that a lot of the programs that he wanted to get through, he didn't have the funding. So as he started to get more cops on the street and start to actually work on crime, he got voted out, and Giuliani went in, and Giuliani kind of piggybacked on top of the things that Dinkins started and then took credit for.
And never finished, by the way.
Exactly.
And you know what? And for the record, Koch was a scumbag. He was. But you know what? I would take Koch over these last 3 years of New York City any day of the week. And when I say I missed the day when the mob ran the city, I don't mean how
I remember those days.
But you know what? Even with the mob in control of New York and pretty much, you know, pulling the strings for freaking the politicians, New York was actually, I can't believe I'm saying this, was a lot better shape because food looked out for people. Things were done.
Yeah.
Things were under control. Well, people say I'm crazy, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Look at New York then. Look at New York now. Even the Deuce, as wild as the Deuce was, even the pimps knew, nah, son, we can't go down there because that's such and such. That's mob land. We're going to have to stay over here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
For Pete's sake, we even had a 24-hour arcade on the Deuce that kept a lot. Again, here we go. People don't realize these small things.
I remember that back in the days.
We had Playland on the Deuce on either side of 7th Avenue. You couldn't find a kid on the street, but I guarantee if you was looking for that child, you find them at Playland playing video games.
That's all okay. Well, that's, as we always say, those are the good old days. Talk about good old days. All right, Mika, before you attack me on the next topic, let me finish.
Well, you know I am.
Let me tell my point. Then
I can see where this one is going already.
Okay. So I got this idea. It's funny. Brother and me and I would talk about this last week because he never watched the show, but I did. There's a show on Netflix called Ultimatum, where a bunch of couples got together, one person in that couple offered the ultimatum either to marry me or it's over. So I watched the show a little bit. You know, typical, you know, they switch each other's partners. They go stay with another person for 3 weeks, you know, drama happened, blah, 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 blah. They got together 3 weeks later. What's your decision? Do you still want to stay with Mika or do you want to move on? Blah, blah, blah. Now, Mika, K-Dog, and Sean, I talked to my young intern about this because, you know, they love these type of shows. So they have to school me a little bit. But, Mika, I'll start with you first because you're half a lady. Do you still?
Oh, my goodness. I'm in.
He's really going for the low blows on this one today.
He's really going now.
K-Dog's about to back me up on this one. K-Dog, you've seen the picture.
Okay.
Am I half a lady or all lady?
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
I'm not impressed. Okay? Remember that statement. But besides that.
I bet you if I had some vodka bottles in my hands, you'd have been impressed. Don't play with me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, of course.
Before we get off topic.
Yes. All right. Mika.
Okay.
Not your personal opinion, but do you feel overall, is it fair in a relationship, whether young or old, if you date for 2 years, to give your partner an ultimatum for marriage?
No. Not at all.
Why not?
Because you know what? Well, not even from a personal standpoint, just in, you can't force someone to marry you. That's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane. And not for nothing, marriage does not signify a happy life.
Exactly.
It doesn't. There are people that have been married for 40 years that have been miserable.
And each other.
Yes.
Okay,
they
like,
each other.
They hate each other, but they're still married.
Yeah, but you know, again, but the purpose of marriage is to be happy. Honestly. Yeah, you're going to have your ups and downs. Yeah, you're going to fight. Yeah, you're going to look at your partner and wonder if you're going to end up on Snap. But end of the day, if you don't want to wake up and still see that person, there's a problem. And no, you should not be forced into any type of marriage.
No.
Marriage is supposed to be for, I'm sorry. I don't believe that you should be forced into it. I don't. And that's what an ultimatum is. An ultimatum is forcing you.
True.
There's a difference between...
You know, I'm sure we're all on the same page with
that.
But if but Mika, let's say we've been dating for 5 years. Don't you want to have...
Okay.
Don't you have questions like where this relationship is going? If it's going to
Are
the next level
together?
Or not?
Are we still together?
Yes.
Is our relationship still healthy?
Yeah.
Is our relationship still healthy?
If it's still healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then why?
Don't you
listen,
want to,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it ain't broke,
exactly.
Don't fix it.
Let me give you an example, people.
Look at Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
They're not married.
Forever.
And they're happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you know of. Yeah. They're still together.
Because
you
know what it is?
Still
Let
together.
Me tell you this about, and I'm glad that you guys are talking about this because marriage, people swear that marriage is, after 2 years of being together, you better propose to me. Like, huh? I didn't know that, you know.
Listen,
marriage is a commitment. Let me just say marriage is a commitment between two people. Okay? It's not a title.
Yeah.
It's not a partnership. It's not a business deal. Because you know what? When the two of you commit to each other, it's a lifetime commitment. You're coming home to that person. That person is coming home to
commitment.
You. You're going to have
to
hold a lifetime commitment.
Yeah, but seriously, you could be in a committed relationship and don't need the freaking the piece of paper.
Ring.
Yeah, but
people need to mind their own business when it comes to marriage. Because you know what? The sanctity of marriage right now, marriage, people don't take marriage seriously now because they swear that, I'm getting married just for a title, just to be someone's husband, someone's wife. I'm like, you're coming home to this person and, you know, welcome to life.
Before I go to you, Sean Black, I want to say this, that on the show, like I told my interns, and they kind of like agree, the couples on the show, they're young, in their 20s, and they're not from New York. And I told my interns, New York, young females don't think about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think about marriage like that. They think about career and other things first. Now, to you, Sean Black. What do you think about ultimatums in a relationship? And do you think there should be a time period of dating until someone should ask for a ring or where this relationship is going?
The majority of the time that I've seen people offer ultimatums in a relationship is if there is something missing from the relationship or if one person is goal-oriented and the other person isn't on that same page. The problem with an ultimatum is you have to be able to know what you want in any relationship. You can be in a relationship and say everything is fine, everything works. What you're looking for you is good. But it doesn't always match up with the person that you're in the relationship with, which is part of the whole communication thing you always hear me tamp on and on and on about. But when you come to an ultimatum, an ultimatum is literally drawing a line in the sand and saying, I am not happy about this. This I want or else. It doesn't matter if it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. If you haven't communicated what you want out of the relationship, and a lot of people, when they get in relationships, they don't know what they want out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that know what they want. There are people that get into a relationship already knowing full well by 6 months I want to be here. By 2 years, I want to be married. By 3 years, I want a house. By 4 years, I want to have children.
How do you know the other person feels that way?
And
but how do you know the other person
feels
that way?
You know what? That's where the communication comes in.
Sean Black, exactly. That's what I told the intern today. I'm like, most young kids, most young people, they have their goal set up, like you just said. Like, you know what? I want my job by, like, 23. By 25, I want to be married, have kids. Because sometimes a lot of these kids, they get pressure. Or remember, our parents back then want us to get married and have kids, you know, have a family, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. They might be going through the same thing, too. I mean, you know what? By 30, I want to have everything by 35, by 30, you know. I don't want to be old, like, hot rod, 35, 40, having kids, you know. And then, you know,
but,
run out of breath.
But you know where a lot of that comes from? A lot of that comes from, it's part of it is learned as far as what influences that they had growing up in their family. They saw mom and dad get married, and then maybe they got divorced. Or they have friends that are in relationships, and they're always breaking up and making up and breaking up. But it's also individual to that person as to what they're looking for. And along with what Nika just stated, which I believe, if you're going to bring up an ultimatum, you almost already know what the answer is going to be unless you know how that other person works. Because there are some people in relationships where you give them an ultimatum to kind of wake them up to saying, well, I want this out of this relationship. And if I don't get this particular step from here to here, we're going to be through. And some people will acquiesce to that. Others will look at that as a challenge to whatever. I said, well, why would you bring that up to me? Don't you know, et cetera, et cetera?
But,
so it's individual to that person, but the concept of an ultimatum to somebody else, you can't put a gun to someone's head and say, marry me or else, because you're just literally going to just.
But isn't that a red
flag? I think it can be.
With an ultimatum?
Yeah, because you want to know why? Because if it got to the ultimatum, then something was not there, and there was something that's not connecting in the relationship to begin with. Because if they were communicating certain things, they wouldn't get to that point to be an ultimatum in the first place.
The only time I can see an ultimatum even being valid is if there, like Sean said, if there are particular issues in the relationship. Like, all right, you with someone, and they develop a drug habit. Oh, okay, so you either go to rehab. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, so we going to do that? So here's what's happening. You either go into rehab or we done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know what I'm saying? But you understand what I'm saying? That's the only time I can see an ultimatum even being valid. Hell freaking yeah. Or, you know, all right, you've been unemployed for 3 months. If you don't go out and get a job, we're done. In that particular respect, I can understand an ultimatum because that affects not only you, but it affects the relationship. You understand what I'm saying? In that respect, you go and get an ultimatum. But marriage, honey, now if we're going to go personal aspect, I don't think anybody should ever get married. But that's on a personal level. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And that is the devil's freaking
ass. I'm glad that you brought that up. Not to talk too much about your personal life. We don't want to talk about it. You've been there, done that. Let's say you meet the right one. He told you, Nika, I love you. I want to be together with you. Do we consider it at that moment? Or because of your past experience, you like, no thank you?
I'll be honest with you. I've already had this talk with the guy I'm with. And he and I are on the same page. No marriage. Because we don't need
it. That's right.
We honestly, and he's never been married. He's never been married. He's been, you know, he was in a long relationship, whatever the case may be. You know, I've been married. Yeah. I'm not doing it again. And when we sat down, we were probably about 2 months in our relationship. And we sat down and we had a long talk about what we expected from the relationship.
And that's the communication part.
Communication.
And
it's all about communication.
And that was one of the things that was put on the table from jump. But then again, we're also older. We're not
2021. That's the key thing. And that's why from my interview earlier today, most adults don't care about these marriages because most of them been there, done that, and they don't want to deal with that no more. They just want to move on with their life, give or take.
But I don't think you should force anyone out. Hell no. If he'd have turned around and said, well, you know, at some point I want to get married, I'd be like, well, at some point we're not going to be together. It's just not happening.
But overall, the thing I have beef about this show is, if number one, Ultimatum was bad. But at the same time, like I told my interns, you know, this show's probably staged, you know, editing, you know, some of them are actors, whatever. Why in the world? I know this is like a stupid question I'm going to ask. Why in the world do I want to put my relationship on television or streaming
mm-hmm.
for the whole world to see?
Same reason why I want to be on Households of Atlanta and Households
and you know
of Orange County.
It's all about
and
we
90
days. You know what we're living in now?
Green card.
We're living in an era. We're living in a dumb era, and I'm going to say why we're living in a stupid era, because we're living in an era where social media runs things, and you've heard me say this many times about social media. People love putting their junk on all over social media, and you have reality TV shows. I call it trash TV because it's like some people, and I'm sure everyone on this panel is going to agree with me when I say this, some people actually do base their relationships on what they see
yes.
on reality TV. And that's sad.
I agree.
That is
because,
sad. If people
love drama.
Yeah.
People love that type of
oh
drama.
My goodness,
people can relate to that drama they see on television.
Which makes no damn sense.
I love drama as much as the next person on TV. Notice how I'm phrasing this. I love drama as much as the next person on TV. Notice.
Right.
On TV. Not in my life.
True.
In my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I told Sean Black earlier today. If people watch this for entertainment, go right ahead. You know, I don't care. That's
no, go ahead.
But if you want to take it seriously? Like,
hell no.
Yeah, they take it seriously. They do.
But see, that's a weak-minded person to take what you see on TV seriously. That's like us taking the Jeffersons or freaking All in the Family seriously when we were growing up watching shows like that. Are you kidding me right now?
But Mika, we're dealing with a different generation because, you know, once again, social media. Hey, I'm going to look at Love and Hip Hop. I'm going to look at the Kardashians. I'm naming all the trash TV.
And
this and is
I still
the
find
stupidity
that, to be a
that people live with.
I find that to be a cop-out. And I say, and this is why I say it's a cop-out, because at the end of the day, everyone has their own mind. And now, if you can't tell the difference from TV, from the real world, then you're weak-minded. You're absolutely weak-minded.
Exactly.
You are. I'm sorry.
Sean Black, we have 6 minutes left. Do you believe marriage is a business relationship with children, family, and friends included?
It can be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, nor should it be. I think that if you're going into a relationship with somebody, it doesn't necessarily have to end in, quote unquote, end in marriage. You don't necessarily have to drop down on bended knee and buy a ring and go through a ceremony. You can do a lot of the things ceremonially for yourself mm-hmm. and not have to let it end up being tied up in paperwork and in the eyes of the law if you don't feel that's the case. Because everybody's definition of a relationship doesn't necessarily have to be defined by a ring and a dress and a honeymoon and that. You can do all of those situations without any of the ceremony involved. So then you have people that get into a relationship, and if they look at it and it's pertinent to them, if they feel that they want to get into a marriage and they want to have children, then you've made a conscious decision with the person you're with. Let's have children. I want to have 3 children with you and I, and that's it. And then we won't have children anymore. We'll just raise these children. We'll have a relationship. We'll get ourselves a place to live, and we'll raise these children and co-parent. If that's a decision that you make, and then you decide, well, why don't we just make it legal to protect the children in case
that's
something
true.
Happens to one of the parents, if that's what you want to do, so be it. I personally think that
if you
want to do that and you want to marry for love, then you do that if that's your personal decision. But don't make it to the extent that it's an end-all, be-all, because a lot of people will find out, and they get in there, 52% of all marriages end in divorce. If you want to be part of that statistic, then you have to make sure, if you don't want to be part of that statistic, you have to make sure that you work at the relationship so that it doesn't end in that way and doesn't get to the point where you have ultimatums kind of dictating what you are or aren't doing in that relationship to get it to that point. You want to give that relationship.
Our brother B. Show last week, the menu, right here on Blog Talk Radio, he mentioned in your divorce rate that, yes, 52% are in divorce, but 70% of the divorces are started by females. Why is that, do you think? Females made the first move in the divorce.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, the top reason is cheating. Cheating is the top reason. Then you have abuse, which is another reason. Or, you know, my all-time
finances.
Favorite. Yeah, that's another one. Or they've just realized that the person that they married isn't the right person for them, and they want something else. They want someone different, you know. It can be, unfortunately, with women, it can be a myriad of things. And, yeah, there are guys that go through those same things. There are. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty.
No, there are guys that go through it.
You have to remember that if she's married to a guy and she, you know, they're together and she finds out he's been cheating, well, who was cheating? More guys cheat than women do. They do. I'm sorry. I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but
that's another topic for another night, you know. But at the end of the day,
those would be the reasons why a female would be like, that's it, I want a divorce. Now, on the flip side, has a guy caught his wife cheating? Hell yeah. Should he leave?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, again,
there are two
could be a reason to leave or not. That's not true. That ain't true.
Well,
that ain't even true.
Most likely,
I know a couple of brothers that caught their wife cheating and was out. And, of course, I took them to the strip club later.
Exactly, you know.
I think another reason why people, as far as looking to get married, are getting into that is that basic FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. You know, they're afraid of being the old person with three cats, without a person to be
scared
with.
Of being alone.
And
Mika.
I think in general, a lot of people don't want to be alone in general. I don't think it's just necessarily women or it's just men. I just think people don't want to be alone. People don't want to be rejected. Those are the two things that get a lot of people into relationships. And sometimes it gets them into relationships for the wrong reasons.
Okay, so real quick, K-Dog, Mika, and Sean Black, prenup, yes or no? K-Dog, quick, yes or no? Prenup?
Yes, prenup.
Mika?
Hell yeah.
Sean
Black? If you want to protect yourself,
yep.
So having a prenup, is it at like a closer red flag? 1 minute left.
No. Nope.
It's a safety.
It's
to be safe.
It's a safety net.
It's to be safe. It's a safety net.
You know.
Hey, in case it don't work out, you take your shit, I take mine.
And then we good. We good money. Tell them K-Dog.
And we good.
I wasn't expecting to hear that one from K-Dog now.
you know.
But I'm not mad because I understand.
Take your shit, you take mine. I take mine.
And I'm out.
Both be happy.
So, Sean Black, have your lawyers talk to my lawyers tomorrow so we can do our prenup before we carry on with our lives, okay? Sean Black,
you're on your own.
Mika, K-Dog, Sean Black, thank you so much, guys. Stay safe. God bless. Tomorrow night, the menu with Brother B right here on Blog Talk Radio, 8:30. Good night, and don't forget, you know,
Kiss
the
my black
pleasure
ass.
Was all yours.
Good night, guys.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Guys.
Good night. Good night.